Your busy day got you stressed out? Sit back, relax, and get ready for a smooth ride with DJ Diesel.
Good afternoon, it's currently 4:07. I'm your host, DJ Diesel, better known as Navy Petty Officer Cram Van Diesel. I have Anna Deluge in the studio with me for our normal 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon interview. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling like cozy with this weather. It's cold, but I'm feeling good.
Wow, it's actually funny to hear you actually say you're enjoying the weather, because you're like, oh, I want to be warm. I do see you're enjoying the sweater life.
I am enjoying the sweater life. The sweater life is so nice.
I'm going to be honest. I definitely started wearing sweaters probably late into the season. Maybe just last month I started wearing them.
As long as I'm not going to die in a sweater, I will like to wear one. They're so comfortable.
I do enjoy them too. What'd you get up to this weekend?
Didn't do much. I did have a fun Saturday with the girls. We did a Galentine's. It was so fun. I love just spending girl time with girls.
You know, it's actually funny, for my script, I actually learned what Galentine's Day was the day before. So I was like, oh, that's probably just a typo or something, like a joke. And I was like, no, it's actually its own thing.
Yeah, it's its own thing. It's so fun. We spent literally a half of the day just with a group of girls, and we were just literally having so much fun. We did a bouquet bar, and then we made some little crafts. We all brought some stuff. I made everyone little cookie cakes as a little goodie bag. It was so fun.
You can definitely bake. Oh my, I remember before kickboxing classes, you used to sometimes surprise me with snacks.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was the worst decision to eat them before class.
I never said to eat them.
You actually told me the opposite. You said, do not eat these. Yeah. I did not listen. But yeah, speaking of sweet treats, we're going to talk about Sicilian Chocolate Village up next, right?
Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about the Village of Modica.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. Stay tuned. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Signal, station serving America's best. And we're back and talking about one of the most popular desserts out there, chocolate. Can't go wrong with it.
You can't. You really can't.
I feel like chocolate is one that there is a kind for everyone. Even if you're not a fan of chocolate, you do have a favorite type of chocolate.
Definitely. And there are the chocolate snobs where they're like, no, only this type, only from this brand.
And then there's the people that convince themselves that they like dark chocolate.
Okay. I will say.
Oh, no, don't.
No. I didn't like dark chocolate until coming here.
Okay.
I have opened my horizons, but I think that's also because I've opened myself up to certain coffee. Mm-hmm. Specifically, getting more into espresso and, stronger coffees. I think when you get into strong coffees, you slowly can, get into dark chocolate.
It makes more sense. You're more used to bitter tastes.
Yeah. And I will say, having European dark chocolate, I can do it. So maybe now, because I can have the more bitter stuff, maybe.
I will admit, it's funny because my mom switched over to dark chocolate. And I, every time I come to visit, I would just tempt her by bringing over milk chocolate. And I will always see her cave. And I'm like, oh, mom, don't you have that dark chocolate in the fridge?
Don't you want that, the dark chocolate? The nasty stuff?
Yeah, and she's like, oh, no, I just switching up a little bit. And I get dark chocolate's still better. And I'm like, I can't deal with this slice.
I will always grab milk chocolate. Don't get me wrong. I will always grab specifically milk chocolate with caramel inside of it. Specifically from Ghirardelli, because I'm very specific on that end, not Dove, Ghirardelli. But I will say, coming here, I grab dark chocolate here and there, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah, it's so funny because I had a really weird white chocolate kick for a while.
Okay.
Because
see, that's too sweet for me.
I know. I saw it always was for me, but on my last ship, in the vending machine, there was a white chocolate bar, and it was the only one that would usually be stocked, because I would usually show up at odd times, and I was like, well, this is all that's left, so I was like, you know what, why not?
I'm forced into it.
Yeah, and it basically became an addiction, because I was like, and it was so cheap, too. It was 60 or 50 cents for a chocolate bar. It was so low. I was dirt cheap, probably because no one else was buying it.
Yeah, had to get rid of it.
Yeah, and then it's funny, and as soon as I got off the ship, I was went to buy a chocolate bar. I was like, $2. I'm not paying $2 for this.
This is a ripoff.
It ended right there.
See, and that's why it's so funny seeing the price differences of things, especially with chocolates or coffees in general. And so being here, I have became a coffee snob, but I've also been open to having different types of chocolate. And we have this beautiful chocolate village It's not, they're not just known for chocolate, but they are best known for chocolate, especially on this island, which is the village of Modica. And Modica is actually an hour and a half away, so definitely just like a day trip.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. When people say it's like, oh, it's a long trip here, it's an hour and a half away, I'm like, that is nothing.
You know what? It is so interesting. Even depending on who you talk to about like where they're from, and then a bunch of like Europeans are like, you guys are crazy. Why do you do these like day trips? For me, I can easily, like, 2 hours is no problem. I think like 4 hours is when I'm like, okay, this is kind of still a day trip, but I'm not gonna like fully plan this.
Yeah, I remember when I would take day trips to like New Jersey, it would be like 5 hour drive, and I'd be like, oh, that's nothing, I could just do that.
See, I can easily do my, from San Diego to my parents' house is about like 6 hours. That's fine for me. I like tune everything out, but then I'm like, dang, that was crazy. I really just did that.
Yeah, my thing was always, I did 2 hours of music, mm-hmm. 1 hour of audiobook, and then right back to music, then it off.
Oh, depending on how I was feeling, it'd be like specific playlists or like audiobooks or like podcasts.
Sometimes I would switch out music for podcasts, but that depends.
You just need a good snack.
Yes, but I would say I can't stop. I'm one of those people, if I stop for a pit stop, I'm wasting so much time for no reason.
So because I would do the route to my parents' house so often, I would have like a specific pit stop and be like, okay, I'm not stopping till I get to this point. And from this point, I'm like going to the bathroom, grabbing another snack just in case. And then I'm like, I'm going. That's the gas fill up. And like, if I need to like stretch, but otherwise I'm like, I'm cruising. And at least if you want to visit Modica, it's an hour and a half away and not the 5 hour drive that we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely better and easy.
Yeah, but if you want to get some chocolate, some good chocolate, some good maybe dark chocolate, maybe you want to visit Modica, because Modica is known for their traditional chocolate making process. And if you haven't tried Modican chocolate before, it has a very interesting texture because of how they make their chocolate. Because it's a cold process, they actually have sugar granules still in these chocolate bars, so they're like kind of like little crispies.
Oh, I actually do love that. That's actually probably, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, they're super, it's a really interesting flavor, and depending on where you actually try them from, because obviously there's going to be a lot of different chocolatiers that make these like chocolate bars in that small village. There's going to be like different flavors too. It's not just going to be like dark and milk. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they love infusing stuff in their flavors. And so I've definitely have seen like pepperoncini chocolate.
I have heard it was, yeah. Did not try. Everyone keeps telling me to try it.
I think I bought one and didn't even try it yet. I think I sent it straight away. Just sent it straight to home and was like, here you go, try it. But they have some fun flavors. And so we do have an article on Stripes Europe from Modica. It was ironically a volunteer writer. And she gave a little rundown on how to spend your visit. And so she gave some ideas of, you know, going check out the chocolate museum, checking out a specific chocolate factory, which they've self-proclaimed that they're the oldest chocolate factory, which is Antico Dolceria Bonahuto. And there's also a cellar there, like an aging cellar, and they're a well-known chocolatier named Sabati. And so maybe you want to check out those. But if chocolate isn't your cup of tea, you can always just walk around the city.
I'm going to be honest, yeah, it's definitely a lot of places to check out chocolate. But I definitely will talk about something interesting when we come back. We'll be talking about Krakow, another wonderful place. And we're back to talk about Krakow. It's a place we've both been. And we actually were, what, I think a week apart. I went a week before you.
Yeah.
I honestly wish I went a week after you, because I could have had all your wonderful recommendations.
Yeah.
Because without you, I was just aimlessly running around the country watching like quick shorts on like what to do.
Yeah, you're like, okay, they said to do this, so I'm doing this.
Yeah, I did have a great time, but you definitely are the boss when it comes to making schedules for vacations. So
yeah, a little too much, a little too little bossing it too much, because I'm running around with schedules.
And your husband would definitely agree with that. He's making some jokes at bingo.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, she'd be running me around. I'm like, sorry. My vacations are for experiences, not for relaxation.
So let's talk about some few things you recommend to go see while you're there.
Yeah, so one of the things that I would recommend, but also I think is on everyone's list when they're thinking about going to Krakow, is specifically going straight into like Old Town, which I'm sure you did.
Oh yeah, obviously.
It's like, it's somewhere that you can like avoid.
And I think it's so small and everything's within the walking distance, mm-hmm. It makes it so easy.
Yeah, and honestly, on that little small part, there's so many things just like condensed into this one area.
Yes, also a lot of pigeons, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Very tamed. It was actually very nerve-wracking.
It's like, yeah. I went to Krakow with the intention of doing certain things, so I looked up certain stuff, but I didn't like fully go into it, and I didn't mess up my algorithm too much, so I didn't see like a lot of videos. I saw more suggestions through like text and not like actual video, so I didn't realize there were so many pigeons, and I also didn't realize that the horse carriages were there.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I don't know how I completely like missed that, because I was seeing so much stuff about visiting like the cloth hall area.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing the horse carriages, I was like, what?
It's definitely a fun time. The horses are great, but I definitely would say one of my favorite parts was the food.
The food is so good there, and it's so cheap because they have a different currency than the euro. And so I always like to point that out because, I mean, at that point, I don't know what it is currently, but it was about a quarter to the dollar.
I don't remember. I just remember being well in our favor.
Yeah, it was wonderful because obviously the euro is not like that for us. But the Polish, what is it? Zloty? I think it's Zloty.
I would not bet on what it's called.
Okay, we're going to assume Zloty. The Polish currency was so nice. And I will say the one place that I keep bringing up that you're like, ugh, I gotta go back because of, we just keep talking about it, is this beautiful steakhouse that me and my husband just ran across because we were there for our anniversary. So I was like, we gotta get a good steak dinner. And I had found this place called Muka. And that has been one of the best steaks I've had in my life.
Yeah, I know. You keep making me like want to go back to Poland. I want to go back. Regardless, but yeah. You're just adding on to it.
So now you just have to go back to Krakow.
But you also have to try the local cuisine, like the pierogies. I forget, there was an interesting type of cheese, like kind of like smoked. Love that. Don't know what it was.
Yeah, I can't even say that. The Oskapik.
That sounds close to. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but yeah, it sounds about right.
Just make me butcher it.
Yes. And
yeah, that one. But they also have some pretzels, so they're, you know, I feel like they're getting a lot of influence from the surrounding countries like Germany and like even like Austria with certain stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I would definitely say I did not try their pretzels, have to do that next time, but their donuts, they're absolutely amazing.
And that was my sad part. You said you had these amazing donuts, and I was like, I didn't realize that they have specialty donuts, and I was so upset because they have windows on like main streets of just like donuts, and I was like, oh, that's a good snack, not realizing they're known for their donuts. So I'm upset. So you missed out on some good steaks, I missed out on some good donuts.
Yeah, we need a workshop next time.
Yeah, we just got to compare notes and then, you know, just talk about it. But something that I didn't realize that they have is something called like a milk bar.
Oh, I didn't know about this. I didn't run into it.
Yeah, so it's something super fascinating. They started off as government-subsidized cafes where workers could just get low-cost bites to eat. And that's transformed into current day where they actually just serve simple items, and it's something that is pretty cheap. So I can only imagine how much money you can save, even more, by like going to something so authentic like that.
Yeah, and speaking of authentic, there's just so much rich history there. Especially with the salt mines, mm-hmm. And unlike the more, I guess, darker note of taking a trip to Auschwitz, I didn't do it personally. I'm saving that for the next time I go.
Yeah. So we did Auschwitz, and it was actually our second concentration camp. And our first one was Mauthausen, which is in Austria. And Auschwitz was our second. And it is just such a, like, different experience. I would totally recommend, and it sounds so weird to recommend that, but it's such an important thing in history that while you're here, you should definitely do something like that. And I've actually heard a lot of people say that they don't want to because it's sad. Which I'm like, no. Yeah, it's sad, but it is such a different experience that, I mean, some people, they plan these trips and they're like, no, I have to go. And you're living here and you're like, oh, I don't really want to go.
Yeah, and I feel like that was my feeling almost the first time I went, because it was a solo trip and I went there by myself, but I ran into friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof, I don't know if I want to go on this tour alone.
That's fair. It is very, I'd say it's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Something very powerful, and it's something that I think is important in general, but I think it's also important for a lot of even the younger generations, because a lot of history, you don't realize how much you miss out on. And when you learn stuff at such a young age, you also don't process certain things. And so, like, I was there and I was like, I didn't realize certain aspects of it. Like, I knew most of the stuff, but there was some stuff that I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, and I think there's just, it weighs on you so much more when you actually see the history versus just see pictures and when you're really there.
Definitely something that you see and you're like, oh, this is like a very different experience. But with that, doing tours like that, you can easily do it by just visiting Auschwitz itself, or you can add on and do like the salt mines and like end your day on like a positive note.
Yeah. Speaking of visiting things on a more positive note, we can talk about Corsica when we come back. And we'll be talking about a French place to go, Corsica. I've never heard about it before here. So can you tell me a little about it?
Yeah. I will also say that I have never heard of Corsica. Couldn't even put it on a map. Can you?
No.
It is a small island above Sardinia, ironically.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I remember, and what's ironic is we fly over those islands every once in a while. And I'm like, what is that island? Now I know.
And it's actually very interesting to see that's a French.
Yeah, so it's a French island. And I always find it funny how they, like, distinguish or, you know, claim certain countries with certain islands. So, like, Portugal has certain islands. The French have certain islands. And then Italians have, like, a bunch of islands, which is ironically interesting to me.
Yeah, I guess we don't really think about, like, how different countries pick different islands, because we don't really experience that as much in America.
Because America has, do we have, like, the Virgin Islands? Yeah.
Because
there's the British Virgin Islands.
Yes, and there's our, I'm pretty sure.
Right?
I'm not willing to bet on it, if I'm being honest.
I'm not either. It sounds right, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we don't really think about them that much.
No, but so, going back to this fun article, there is a fun island called Corsica. And I was actually looking at this before coming because I was like, is this something that's actually we can get to from here? And there isn't a direct, but I have found that we can do a direct to somewhere else. And then those flights, we can, you know, take a flight there. But you can also get to this island on a ferry.
Wow, I love when you can get places on a ferry, because even if there is, like, the mountains going off, mm-hmm. so flights are delayed, you can always get home.
Yeah.
Safe trips for Donzas.
I will say, this is not a short ferry that I was seeing. A lot of them are like 10 hours.
But you can still get back.
But you can still get back.
I wouldn't say it's convenient, but it's guaranteed.
Yeah, so I can't even imagine if you were even able to take a ferry from Corsica to Sicily. That would be so long. But I was seeing just ferrying from south of France or certain parts of Italy. But if you wanted to check out a different island, Corsica is an option. And it has actually been a part of France since 1768.
Wow, that is a long history.
Yeah, and so with how long of history it is actually, I think this is one of the things where it's famous for. It's famous for being the birthplace of Napoleon Bonaparte.
Hmm.
Whenever I see the history of someone's birthplace, I'm like, dang, I can't even imagine that.
Isn't it funny how a lot of world leaders of countries back in the day were from such small remote places. It wasn't from like the capital or anything. It's always just some random territory in the grand scheme of things that they just rise to such great power.
Mm-hmm. And then you're always like, you're from where?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, imagine telling somebody, yeah, Napoleon Bonaparte's from this place that I visited randomly. And everyone would be like, what?
It's just random
yeah,
facts.
Like super random facts. But I think what's fun, which I've noticed this about a lot of the Mediterranean islands, being here, also visiting Sardinia, and just seeing the landscapes from like the airplanes itself. So many of these islands have such mountainous landscapes. And obviously, I mean, I'm assuming that's from volcanoes. Erupting.
Yeah, to create those small islands.
To create the small islands. But Corsica is obviously another one of those islands where if you wanted to be active, you could definitely trek through the mountains. There is something called the GR20, which is 180 kilometers. That is a vertical across the island's center, and it is rated one of the most strenuous long-distance hikes in Europe.
Yeah, I was about to say, it doesn't sound easy just based off the distance alone, but...
No, but I guess they're saying that it's beautiful, so, I mean, I would hope.
Yeah, it's definitely at the end of your journey. Yeah. That's not the first one you do.
No, but I think it is fun also that because of where it is, and I think what's fun about Europe in itself, they love... identifying certain places as UNESCO World Heritage Sites. So earlier this hour, we were talking about Modica. Modica is another UNESCO site. So is like Ortigia, another UNESCO site, and all of those steps. But Corsica is also another UNESCO World Heritage Site because of the marine life that they have. And so if you are into scuba diving, or even if you just want to snorkel, summer maybe you want to visit.
I do love scuba diving.
Yeah, and so they have some supposedly interesting, fascinating underwater wildlife and some beautiful nature reserves. And like we said, like you can take a ferry. And because of where it is, they're saying you can even take the ferry from Porto, which is fascinating. Because you can just keep traveling around.
Yeah, just ferry by everything.
Yeah, just ferry by everything. But that's not the only way to get to this island, obviously. Like we talked about, you can easily fly. But yeah, so how I said you can take a ferry, you could take a ferry from Italy, France, and Sardinia. Which I think is funny, just ferrying from one island to the next.
I wonder if anyone's done like a ferry tour to see how far you can get by just using ferries.
I don't even want to imagine how long that would take.
Oh, that would add days to your journey, but...
Hey, if you have the time.
Yeah, it'd be nice, relaxing. If you enjoy being at sea...
I would say as long as you don't get seasick.
Yeah, I've never actually been on a ferry that's that long, so be interesting.
Me neither. I've only been on boats for a couple hours.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I haven't gotten seasick in years, because I remember my first time on a destroyer, which they're famous for being, like, people getting seasick, because I went from a carrier to that, and it was a drastic difference, say that.
Big boat to a small boat.
Yeah, and the first thing I experienced was a massive storm that actually made us pull in. So I was struggling when I first, had to fight through it. But after that, 3 days of just awful storming, I never got seasick again.
Your body got used to it.
Yeah.
Maybe your body will get used to ferrying around to all these Mediterranean islands.
It definitely would be worth it. And it's always nice to sometimes have your car, too, in these foreign places.
Yeah, just driving around, having... some nice places to visit, to drive, so many beautiful coastlines.
Yes, I will say, do not assume that the road laws are the same in different places.
Don't do that, especially because Corsica is French. So don't assume Italian laws are Italian laws, because you're now in a different country.
Yes, also keep in mind if you're driving an American spec vehicle, how you may struggle on very small islands.
Even here, honestly, sometimes.
Yes.
You can't do everything that you think you can.
No, you can't. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up with Stars and Stripes, and we'll be giving you some great volunteer opportunities and more. And we're back to wrap up our interview. It's been absolutely wonderful. You have anything else you want to put out?
Yeah, I just want to put out that everything that we talked about today is always available on stripeseurope.com. all of our content is always free. So if you want to check it out on that website, look through some articles, you need some travel recommendations, that's always available. We also host our Best of Italy results there. We also have a Facebook that posts articles from Stripes Europe, but also stripes.com. So it's a mixture of community, but also like news.
Okay.
So it's a great, great resource. Everything is always, like I said, free. And if you ever want to, you know, produce some content, get it out in the world, we always take it. Just like I said earlier, one of our articles was actually written by somebody here, so that was fun. It's always fun reading stuff that isn't just written by me.
Yep. It must be a breath of fresh air. Like, wow, there's other writers.
Like, I love that. Thank you so much for giving the community some fun information that I didn't have to come up with myself.
Yeah, and you have to think, you can't see everything. As good as you are at telling people where to go and what to see, you can't see it all.
No, and it's also always fun to see it from other people's perspectives, because obviously everyone does something different. Like, yes, our trips to Krakow.
Entirely different.
And you came back with recommendations, and I came back with different recommendations. So it's always fun, and it's a great way to get the community together to talk about stuff. And even, maybe even anyone listening right now, and if you heard us just chatting around, maybe you've learned something.
Hopefully you did.
Hopefully you did. And if you ever want to learn some more, it's always free at stripeseurope.com.
Yep, definitely go check that out. Appreciate you for coming out. Have a good one.
Of course. Thanks for always having me.
Stay tuned, because up next, your news and sports, followed by some more of the Afternoon Alibi. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Signal, a station serving America's best.